any visitors today, I'd like to remind you that we will have coffee and refreshments after this service over in the fellowship hall. Please join us. Please read your bulletin, check the back of the calendar for what events are going on, what meetings are going on this week. Don't forget to get your tickets for the United Methodist Women's Breakfast at the end of the month. The crosswalk and hunger will take place this afternoon. We will be dedicating our walkers later in the service. The pumpkin patch is going to start tomorrow. You can see all the pumpkins out on the lawn next to the lake. Please sign up to volunteer to work in the pumpkin patch the 13th through the 31st. See Ken Chanel. He has a chart and he's taking appointments for you to sell pumpkins. As I said, the United Methodist Women Breakfast will be at the end of the month, and the guest speaker will be from Adopt a Family. Prayer cards will be collected during the worship chorus, so if you hold them up, the ushers will come by and pick them up. And don't forget to fill out your Connect card. Let us know if there are any concerns on your pastor needs to address. Turn them in the offering plates. We have a guest speaker today. Pastor David is at another event, and her name is Sue Small Kreider. She's the donation relations manager and joined the staff of the Florida United Methodist Children's Home in 2013. She's based at the Enterprise Florida campus. She has worked in development and agency advancement roles for children with learning disabilities, senior citizens, and museums in Indiana, Massachusetts, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And her husband, Steve, is with us today. So please welcome them after the service, both at the back door and when we go over for coffee time. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Child labor and sexual exploitation. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? This is the day the Lord has made. This day is children's Sabbath. Come, let us worship God. Would you please join in the opening hymn, O Worship the King? It will be projected. It is also number 73 in your hymn book.
Thank you.
Maria Morelli, who is working with the children now. Meeting the children.
I'm a little too short, so I'll stand here. Good morning, everyone. My name is Maria. I have been working with the children's ministry in this church for about over a month now, and I'm really loving it. It's been a great thing. Devin has been our most consistent guy here. So, Devin, do you know what's your favorite story that you like that we've done so far? Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, Noah. It was just an interesting story. Yeah. And it teaches us to listen to God. That's very true. Well, every week we do a different story, and we teach the kids about Bible studies and just how to listen to the Word of God, listen to your parents, just little things like that. It's been very inspirational for all of us. And Kat always comes and helps me, and I always have a volunteer every week too. So it's been really interesting. But right now I would also like to lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for bringing all of us together to this church, and we hope for the growth of this church and the growth of our children every day. Thank you always, in your name, amen.
And we have a prayer for world peace. Father, we pray today for all those who we have named here before you this morning, and for those we hold in our hearts and minds with needs unspoken. We pray their lives will be blessed and their needs met. Lord, you have blessed us with so much. Help us to be a blessing to others. Open our ears to hear the cries of the children who are hungry or sad or lonely. Fill our hearts with kindness and compassion. Help us always to seek your guidance in all that we do. Now let us pray the prayer together that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you. from our constant prayers that petition you, not just for our needs, but for our wants. Lead us to that place where our prayers and our giving are not focused on ourselves, but more on how we can make your love real to others. Use our gifts, and use our prayers as a force for compassion and peace in our world. In the name of Christ, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Cottages up on our new north campus at the
Youth Ranch. It's about 30 miles south of the Georgia border, in a little town called Pinetta. And each of the cottages hold between 8 and 12 children. And they come to us, and we try to have them live in sort of a family situation. Throughout the year, we try to provide challenges for them, even though their lives are challenging as it is. Our ropes course, we have various creative activities. We do emphasize education, relaxation, and of course our spiritual life. This is the outdoor chapel again at our New Madison Youth Ranch. We also try to provide them with some career guidance. So we have, on our main campus, we have a carpentry program. And recreation. I'm happy to report that our traveling basketball team actually had a couple wins this year. And they enjoy it. We have beautiful children who love to sing and do praise dances at their chapel services. We also incorporate, we have some foster families that work, and this is from one of the foster care days, some face painting. Stained glass window in our chapel. You may not be able to read up at the very top, but it says, "Don't follow me." We do have a swimming pool on our main campus, and the children do love to swim. More of our ropes course. And finally, I'm going to leave that on our slide of the Bridge of Hope, which is what we hope that all the children who come to us have. The Florida United Methodist Children's Home, or FUMCH as the residents like to call it, they abbreviate down to the initials. As I said, it began in 1908 as an orphanage, but we're so much more than that now. Children come to us because they've been abused, been neglected, been abandoned. Maybe their families have crises that make it unable for them to stay with their families for a period of time. Maybe the children have experienced some type of traumatic issue. They come to us from referrals from churches, from family members, from their schools, from the courts, and from other agencies. One of the things that we're able to do because of our size, we're able to take in many of the sibling groups, 3, 5, we've even had as many as 7 family members come and stay with us. And the children that range today are between the ages of about 5 and 17 that come. Many of them come first to our emergency shelter, which is a cottage, like many of our others, that they can stay for up to 30 days while we're evaluating, trying to find where their permanent placement may be. We hope that it will be back with their families or some extended family member, but many times they do end up staying with us. As I said, our cottages are kind of like homes. I actually mentor a girl on campus, and I've kind of got to be kind of an extended family member of their cottage, that not only does she greet me when I go to visit her, but as she says, her little sister Sam likes to come and say hi. But in the cottages, they have house parents, which are a married couple. Each cottage actually has 2 house parents, so they can alternate weeks. Just like with many of our families, there's good days and bad days, but mostly we hope that they're all hopeful days for the children. The children do go to both public school and private schools in the area. Our on-campus school is called Aldersgate Academy. It helps
with the children who may have found through their life experiences, either because of moving a great deal, not being able to focus, that they may have gotten behind in their a grade or two in their education. So the school tries to work with them on a one-to-one level to get them up to their grade level, hopefully get them to the point where they can go to public school, but if not, help celebrate their successes. A typical day, I was asking my mentee, what's a typical day like for you? And she said, well, the alarm goes off at 6, I lay there for about 15 minutes. Did I mention she's a teenager? And she says, by 7 I have to be out at the front gate to catch the school bus. By 7:30 I have to be in school, my school day starts. She says, and I live through all the classes until I get to my favorite, which is chorus. She loves to sing. She says, I tolerate the rest of the day. And school lunch isn't too bad. She sees her friends. She comes back. When she gets dropped off by the school bus, depending on the day of the week, she may have different activities. Like I said, she loves to sing, so on Wednesday afternoon, she'll be at the chapel practicing with the praise choir. Or sometimes it's the dance, praise dance team that she practices with. On Thursdays, she and I usually get together. We may do craft projects. We make fudge. She's always asking to make more fudge. And sometimes we just walk, because oftentimes she wants somebody to listen to just her, as she says. If I'm in the cottage, I can't, if not everybody can hear me. She says, when I'm with you, I can tell you what's going on. So I hear about her friends, her boyfriends, her girlfriends, things that are going on in her life that are important. We talk about things that we hope for her to become. She's I'm happy to report, a 3.0 grade point average. So as I tell her, she can go to college, she can do it. She thinks she wants to become a music teacher. So we talk about what she needs to do to get there. On weekends, the cottages go as family groups. They may go on a Friday night to go see a movie. They may go out for pizza, ice cream. Saturdays are usually spent doing their chores around the house. The kids are each responsible for their own rooms. And on Sundays, twice a month, they go to the campus chapel for services. And then they also, on the other Sundays, they will go to churches in the local community so that they can experience a variety of religious services. One of the things my mentee is often saying, what am I going to do when I age out? Meaning, when she turns 18, she'll no longer be considered part of the foster care system. And that's when we talk about, well, we've been learning life skills all along. We're learning cooking during the summer months. On campus, they have what they call Summer Quest. In the afternoon, it's a series of sort of classes, recreational activities. You saw some of the ropes courses in the photographs. They did that, and she said, that was awfully scary. She says, you have to climb up there, and you have to trust somebody to hold you on the guide rope, because they have harnesses on, and they climb up. And if somebody's already up there, you hope that they're going to pull you up and help you stay on some of the smaller platforms. But as a team, she says, we got across that bridge that you kind of saw them going. Some of the other things she's talked about doing is, she says, I don't know why I have to learn how to balance a checkbook. I said, well, because when you're out on your own, you're going to have to know how to manage your money. And she says, you mean somebody's not going to tell me like they do here? I said, well, come on. You spend part of your allowance on what you want to spend, and part of your allowance we make sure that you save for later. So you'll have a nice sum of money when you come out that you can have for living expenses or whatever. She said, well, maybe, I guess. We've been talking about, since she's 15, we've been talking about, do you want to get a job? Because there's campus jobs where they can go and learn different skills. You saw the carpentry is one of the workshops they have. They make Adirondack chairs that they sell. There's an auto body or an auto shop that they can learn to work on cars. Some of the kids come and help them work in the offices. So they're learning not only skills, but also the idea of being able to, you have to be on time. If you can't make it, you need to call and say, I'm going to be late, or I can't come in today. Trying to teach them all of those skills that they're going to need in life. We do have a program for when children do age out. It's an independent living program that's actually just across the street from our main campus in Enterprise, which is about 30 miles north of Orlando. They start out in a cottage very similar to what they've been in, but it's also an opportunity to grow and hopefully move out into their own apartments, which we do have nearby. I just met one of our, we always refer to our children as they leave us as alumni. We had an alumni reunion recently. A young man walked up to me and he says, I'm one of the alumni and I'm the one who started the car wash. I said, the car wash? Tell me about it. He said, well, when I turned 18 and I moved across the street, I knew I hadn't had a job. But I didn't really want to work for somebody. I wanted to have my own place, he said. So the only thing I could figure out to do was to start washing cars. He said, so they helped me make up a flyer. We passed it out to all of the FUM staff. And he said, I washed cars. But then I decided, you know, that's not going to be enough to live on. So he eventually found a job selling cell phones and other services. I found out 7 years later, he's still doing that. He's enjoying it. He's out on his own. And when he came to the reunion, he brought with him his girlfriend. And he said, I brought her because I want her to meet my FUMSH family, the only real family I've ever had. He came to the children's home when he was 7. He's now 26. One of the other ministries that we have on campus, which helps serve mostly the local community, is our early child care center called Inasmuch. It's a Montessori preschool program that serves the local community as well as FUMSH staff families. And one of my colleagues that I work with, she has a son, he's about fourth grade now, but he started going to Inasmuch when he was about 3. And he'd always say, Mommy goes to work there, and I go to my work at Inasmuch. Since he started school, he's been going to the after-school program and also goes to the summer camp afterwards. And we still consider him one of our FUMSH alumni, or will be one of our FUMSH alumni. He says when he finally gets to be age 13, he wants to be one of the junior counselors at the summer camp because he enjoys working with kids. This week, I was so happy to know that we were going to be celebrating the Children's Sabbath today, but I was also very happy to hear, maybe some of you heard the news, that the Nobel Peace Prize was won by 2 children's advocates. And I'm afraid their names are a little bit more complicated than I can pronounce. But one of them was the young lady from Pakistan, a Muslim girl, who had been shot in the head because she was advocating children should go to school, specifically female children. The other winner was a gentleman who's been advocating for education as opposed to child labor. so thrilled to hear that that was who the Nobel Peace Prize went to. We've been talking all morning about helping our children, remembering others. And I want to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you and to serve others in our community and the world at large by helping children become healthy and happy, productive citizens of our world. Thanks be to God.
Each district is given a particular time when their members can visit the children's home. We are scheduled to do that in March of 2015. So remember that day, because we will be trying to get enough people to go that we will provide transportation for that March 2015 to visit the children's home. Would you please stand as you are able and join in our closing hymn, Let There Be Peace on Earth, number 431 in the hymnal, or it will be projected. The end. Through us, be with you, beloved children of God. Amen.